This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, how's your immune system lately?
Honestly, it's in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What if I told you that similar to our immune systems, which produce more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, which leads to a whole host of health benefits.
I might just gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it is delicious.
I know that's right.
Their grape juice, delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious. Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com right now and use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that promo code is TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y.
Hey, what's going on, Clearview family? John here. Before we start, just wanted to let you know that this is the last episode that has the wrong date due to the Baltimore Bridge incident. We did have to shuffle some episodes around. This episode was originally recorded for last week, but we're going to go ahead and air it today on Monday. And after today, everything should line back up nicely. With that being said, let's start the show.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less. For any reason conceivable to your human imagination, we're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that.
For any reason conceivable or inconceivable.
Today is March 28th, which means the date the word is coming to us from Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law.
Throughout the Old Testament, the law was a point of contention. Mm-hmm. And it was just piled on and piled on and piled on of things you got to do. And this is how you absolve yourself of your sin. This is how you deal with the guilt. And here's the offerings. And it was designed to be burdensome.
That's
it was
right.
Designed to show the people that they couldn't achieve salvation and forgiveness of their sins on their own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so this verse reminds us in Romans, Paul is writing here, and he reminds us it's not the law that saves, it's faith in what Christ has done for us, the finished work of Christ on the cross.
And you would think that people would be like, are you dead serious? Whoopee! Yeah, I'm no longer bound by the law. People didn't like that.
No.
People did not like that.
Especially those proponents of the law who benefited from the law financially.
Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. This was a game changer. When I read verses like this, like I tried to get it in my mind how radically this changed the course of human history, really.
Yeah.
I mean, this is insane. A man is justified by faith apart from deeds of the law. There's a weight behind that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the more you read the book of Romans, and I've been reading Romans lately, it really, really, really shows you how radical this Jesus was.
Yeah, good stuff.
Just want to remind you, this episode is brought to you in part by the Date the Word app. That's where all these verses of the day are coming from, and you can download it for free right now on iPhone and Android. You know, today is Thursday.
It is all day long.
Time for all day long. It's going to be Thursday. And that means it's time for some advice that no one needed.
Ooh.
Every single Thursday, we dole out some practical, wise, or some worldly advice. It's definitely unlicensed. It's definitely unneeded and unnecessary. This one right now is for the worship leaders. All right. I'm going to give you all some advice. And if you're not,
I'm gonna put y'all on something.
If you're not a worship leader, this is just kind of a peek behind the screen of what it is that we do from week to week. Worship leaders,
if you're not playing, if your band is not playing to a click track, go on ahead and put them on a click track. It's 2024. This is not new technology. So if you haven't, if you're not playing to a click track now, it's by choice. It's 100% by choice. I'm going to encourage you, go on ahead and put them to a click track.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, you don't know what a click track is. It's literally, a lot of times you'll see worship leaders and musicians that have this little thing in their ear, this little headphone in their ear.
We call that your in-ear monitor.
That's right. There's your monitors, man. And what you'll do is you just have a metronome just like that right there. Bop, 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 bop. Sometimes only the drummer has it. For us, the whole band has it. But there's some people out there who are like, you know, I don't want to use them because it's going to take away my freedom of worship. For those people, I'm going to encourage you, start using them because it's going to introduce some discipline. If you've been using it for a while, take it away, even for just a day, and see where your band is at. See how much better of musicians they are. I'm going to tell you right now, when we took ours away, that was a mistake.
That was a bad call.
That was a bad call. People didn't like that. We were floating out in the ocean somewhere.
That's funny.
We have the piano player playing at 200 beats per minute. We've got the drummer being like, I don't know what's going on. The guitar player's out in the parking lot. He's calling his mom for a ride home.
please help.
Yeah. So that was a mistake for us. Yeah. But anyway, that's my advice. Start using it for real because you will see where you stand musically. And the worst thing you can do is be like, well, I'm okay with where we are musically.
Wrong answer.
Don't do that.
Wrong answer.
That's my advice for the day.
Check out that click track.
Yeah.
Write in and let us know. If you're a worship leader, if you're involved in your worship band in some capacity, write in and let us know. If you implement this, let us know how it's going. 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Was that funny?
No, Dr. Shah made me laugh. Yeah. We start the episodes off with the date cap, like, hey, this is for Thursday. And Dr. Shaw just went, hmm. I don't know why.
I did?
Yeah,
did.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it made me.
I did?
Yeah. You must have been reading something funny.
Oh.
It was funny. No, I liked it. Let's keep going.
I love it. Anyway, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah. You can find more information about our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. And we are coming at you this beautiful Thursday afternoon with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Nicole, you are joining us for the third time in a row. Permaguest,
yay!
Nicole Shah.
Permaguest. Yes.
Thank y'all.
We need like a placard at that seat.
Dr. Shah, I know you're used to, back in the day, trying to cast your vision with people, and you spend a lot of your time trying to convince people that something is worth doing, and then that feeling that you get when you hear those people champion that vision to other people, where you see people who have bought in, the people who may or even have been once resistant to it are like, hey, trust me, this is the way we need to go. That's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be abused because if you have a wrong vision, wrong goal, ulterior motives, and then seeing people get on board with you, That's a bad place to be, and people misuse that. But when you're serving God, and your ultimate goal is to reach all peoples to a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ, and then you begin to see people who didn't care about that start caring about it, it is definitely a wonderful feeling.
Amen.
And confirmation that God is moving people in the right direction.
That's true. That's true.
So maybe deeper than what you wanted me to talk
about. No, not at all. Not at all.
That evidence that God is going to bring you that unity, bring you that same mindedness in pursuit of that vision, that goal. I love that. And that, you know, that feeds into what we're talking about today. If you've been listening to the show, you know that we've been in this this deep dive into marriage. Talking with Dr. Shah and Nicole about how do we restore where we started? How do we get back to the beginning, back to basics, where God has kind of positioned us for marriage?
You know, we've sort of been looking at the first marriage ever between Adam and Eve, and we spent a lot of time yesterday sort of diving into. We didn't plan for this to be three episodes. We thought it would only be two, but we spent so much time diving into Eve and the deception that she faced at the hands of the serpent and the consequences of that we didn't really have a lot of time to delve into Adam's, I guess, culpability in this entire process and really what that means for us as Christians and as men.
Yeah. Adam and Eve's relationship is not just some mythological story from the old dusty pages of history or Bible. Mm-hmm. They are very applicable to couples today.
That's right.
And have been throughout the history of the world. Unfortunately, many times we haven't seen it that way. Mm-hmm. But what happened to them, how Satan came and how he deceived Eve and how Adam ate the fruit knowingly and how Adam was not there initially, but then he was there and how Eve was spiritually minded, but Adam wasn't.
Right.
Eve did not have the sense of discernment that she needed, but she did have a sense of discernment. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that we can take and apply, and we did it.
Right.
So if you missed out on that, please go back and listen to the past two radio shows, past two podcasts, because they're just full of so much truth coming from the Bible and application. Mm-hmm. But I want to kind of shift gears a little bit, because we can hear all this, why this happened and what's the source of the conflict. But I also want to talk about restoration.
Right. Mm.
Because we're not just talking about how things have gone downhill or marriages break down like Adam and Eve's, but I want to talk about restoration, because restoration is very important.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, like I talked about in the first episode, that marriage is the bedrock of society. Mm-hmm. And if marriage breaks down, then our society begins to break down.
Right.
That's true. And I feel like a lot of people, even some Christians, don't believe that. Or they just don't see the weight of that statement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that if marriage is the bedrock of our society, then we should be putting way more emphasis on it than we are. And yet we see this flippant attitude towards marriage in our society today.
Yeah.
When I first came to America, this is 1991, I had a perspective on America. And I know we talked about that and how I was wrong about some things. What I wasn't wrong about is the rate of divorce in Western culture, especially in America. It's terrible. It's sad. It's the one thing that the East has over the West. Mm-hmm. And it may not be for the best reason. It's maybe because women have just learned to live in those settings, or they just have that mindset of, we're going to make it work no matter what, and making it work means I got to stay married to this person. Nonetheless, their marriages are not where our marriages are.
Right.
I mean, where so many divorces. Mm-hmm. And we think it's just no big deal. This didn't work out, try another one.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out, try another one. If not, just live together. If not, just exist.
Do you think it's because the end goal here in the West is our satisfaction, our happiness, whereas in the East, it's like we know, even if it's twisted and perverted in some way, we know that the family unit is like having a strong family is the goal rather than me being happy.
Yeah.
So if my wife doesn't make me happy, then why would I stay with her?
Yeah.
But that's that way of thinking is not over there.
It's a selfish selfishness that is here, a sense of selfishness. Like, this is about me. It's about my happiness, my joy, my peace, my goals, my dreams.
Mm-hmm. We go into marriage thinking that this person is going to make me happy. This person is going to fulfill me.
Yeah.
And when we should actually be going into marriage saying, how can I serve this person? How can I complete this person? So, you know, like Avedon said, we're in a society here in the West that is completely self-absorbed.
Right. Well, and just look at how that those questions changed the view on marriage. Mm-hmm. It started as very passive. Like, what are you going to do for me? I'm going to sit here and receive, but what are you going to do for me? You're going to make me happy. You're going to take care of my needs. Yeah. You're going to be there for me. You're going to give me a family.
Yeah.
But when you approach it with, how can I serve this person?
Yeah.
How can I, what can I do for my spouse? How can I love my spouse? How can I minister to my spouse? I mean, it makes it very active. It makes it very, I'm focused now, not on my own satisfaction, but on that other person.
And I do want to clarify, this does not mean that people in the East think that way.
Yeah.
This does not mean that people in the East care about the other person. No, they just stay married.
Mm.
Okay. They just stay married. But that does not mean that what you just said about, I care about you, what are your needs, how can I serve you, that is not there.
Yeah,
but
that's the point.
Do you think they still, even if they're staying married for a wrong reason, do they still reap, does the society as a whole still reap the benefits of the family unit?
That's it.
I see.
That's
I see.
It. Yeah. But, so, what do you do with the independence we have in our culture, with which the equal value we have between men and women?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with... with all the benefits, it's a tough one.
Yeah, and it makes me think, even we've been talking about Adam and Eve this whole time, like they were one flesh before the fall. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going into, like here in the West, we're going into marriages still holding on to like being two fleshes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Oh,
like I'm still, like we're getting married, but make no mistake, I'm still my boss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still in control of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going into marriage with a whole idea of, you know, we're going to be in this together, but I have my life and you have your life. Mm-hmm. And we'll, you know, we'll come together for these, you know, certain things.
And I hope we can do better and I hope we can really get closer. But if not.
Yeah. It's really sad because I think we live in a throwaway society. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's come into our marriages that if we, I mean, one of the vows is until death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's going through people's minds when they actually say it.
Yeah.
I think they're probably saying, well, until you don't make me happy, or until I find somebody better, or until it just doesn't work out anymore.
You know what? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there are listeners and viewers out there who are absorbing this, and they're saying, that's me. I'm there. We're just existing together. We're just in a roommate situation. We're just, I mean, it feels like there is no hope. There's no clear path forward. And we, sitting around this table, we know the answer to this, but I mean, I want to ask you guys, is restoration possible?
Absolutely. Marriages? Absolutely. Well, in Genesis 3:13, it says, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So at that point, God pronounced a curse on the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that in a few moments. And in Genesis 3:16, God went on to say to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and in your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, the Hebrew word for desire is teshuka, which is found about three times in the Old Testament. And this is the first one. The next one is regarding Cain, when God tells him that sin's desire is for you. And the third one is in Song of Songs 7:10, mm-hmm. where it is about a romantic desire between husband and wife.
Mm.
Desire. Your desire will be for your husband. Based on the context, most scholars believe that the word desire here has a negative meaning of contention for leadership.
See, I can see that because there's almost something very passionate about it in Song of Songs, where it's this romantic desire, and yet God uses the same word to talk about sin's desire for Cain. It's almost like it's this animal force, this like, not a force of nature, but something wild and uncontrollable and like untamable. Like you can't tame this monster. Only Christ can. I don't know. That just kind of hit me when you compared the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's initially was supposed to be the man will lead in his servant leadership, but now he's on his own. He's thinking of himself, which will come in a moment, and she will try to overpower and undermine his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens in those moments, Nicole? Or what do you think should happen? What is your advice to the ladies listening to this?
Oh, I don't know if I'm the person to do this, but because like I said in the last one of the last episodes, that when I grew up in the 80s, mm-hmm. that word submission was an ugly
bad word.
It was a bad word.
Yeah.
And it just, I think the women's movement and all that stuff just propagated that idea. So that has been a struggle mm-hmm. in my own life. But when I realized what it truly means, it means that he doesn't take the authority. I give it. Mm-hmm. I give it willingly. Mm. But also, when you're a team, there is no, I'm going to take this authority.
Right.
It's, let's work on this together. Mm-hmm. Let's work on this problem as a team rather than, and he leads that. And if I'm wanting my marriage to work, then I'm going to follow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that goes back to that idea we were talking about a second ago of the one flesh versus two flesh. Mm-hmm. If you're a team, if you are one flesh, then you are working in tandem and right. you are working to pursue the best good for both of you. Yeah. But if you are those two fleshes that are, you know, set at odds with one another, then there's going to be a power struggle.
Well, I think even it says in the Bible at some point that like, I wish I could remember the verse, the reference right offhand, but it's like my hands and my feet aren't jealous or envious of the decisions that my head gets to make. It's one body. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not like my hands and my feet are like, well, I wish I could make all the decisions. Must be nice living up there in the head all day. You know what I mean? Everything is working together and everything plays its role and it plays it perfectly.
Well, the first thing I would also add is a woman has to recognize her desire to control.
True.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I'm saying it knowing that men have their problems too.
Right.
But do want to bring that every woman has that. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to admit for women. I don't know. I'll let you talk.
Well, I will say, especially when it comes to decisions, as a woman, I have been in this place where we're trying to make a decision on something, whether it's a big purchase or just, you know, something.
A life decision.
Yeah, a life decision in our family. And he'll say, you know, I really think we need to do A, B, and C. And in my head, I'm like, do you really think that's going to do? Are you stupid?
Come on.
You know, I won't say that out yeah. loud, but I will portray the attitude yeah. of, mm-hmm. do you really think that what my idea will work? And so that's where I see it coming to the forefront mm-hmm. with me mm-hmm. is where I think my ideas and my way is better.
It's better. And then also recognize God's clothing in Christ, because here in Genesis 3:21, God had to clothe both of them. It's not like Adam decided to do that.
True.
God just did it for them. So we cannot change on our own. We need the power of Christ in our lives. In our weakness, he proves to be strong.
That's right.
In
That's right.
their inability to clothe themselves, God made provision for one day Jesus to be our clothing.
That's yeah. true. And I think even yeah. just remembering that what we're giving you guys is from the Word of God. This is yeah. not the way that we think marriages should go. This right. isn't the
this
way
is
that
the
we...
the Bible says.
Yeah, right. This is obedience to God's Word.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and I think that really, truly makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of any couple like you guys that I've ever seen that is rooted in God's Word and to say their marriage is failing.
Yeah.
I've just never
yeah.
seen it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it
exists.
There.
Doesn't mean that marriages don't have a difficult time, because they do. Every marriage does. Our does as well. But having these foundational principles in place enables us to weather through whatever happens, whatever mm-hmm. comes, and move to the next day.
Yeah.
There's a commitment there that would not be there
mm-hmm.
if it were not for having Jesus Christ as our base.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there, what's the use of the commitment if there's not Jesus Christ at the center
yeah.
of that marriage? And if we didn't have that,
yeah.
then there would be no commitment.
Yeah.
See, we're not married have stayed married because I'm from the East. It's because I'm built on Christ.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole different thing.
That's right.
Also, you know, we talked about women, you know, recognize your desire to control, but also for the men, reject the desire to domineer. Mm. Women want to control, men want to be domineering.
That's right.
And if you notice in Genesis 3:17, then to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Mm-hmm. Means you're nothing. So now, instead of trying to live as if I am superior or I am in control, I am the leader, I am the head of this household, you have to recognize that is not coming from a good place.
Right, because I think you see that a lot, especially in men, and I'm glad this is geared towards men, because there is that innate desire to dominate. Mm-hmm. It's risky to do it with other men.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I can dominate Ryan. I don't know if I can dominate Dr. Shaw. I don't know if I can dominate Nicholas or David. I know I could probably dominate my wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where that comes from. And that's why you see it so much in marriages, is because it's quote unquote safe. It's a sure bet almost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a safe place to exercise that. But you have to fight against that, because
that
desire within you is not a godly desire.
Right.
Yeah, it's not healthy. And sometimes, I would say, in the past, many times it has crept in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has slithered into Christianity in the form of traditional family values.
Right.
And it's not traditional, neither is it family.
Right.
It's a whole different way of thinking, and that's not what we're advocating here, of a man should lead and a woman should submit respectfully and follow that. What some of you may have grown up watching your parents do, or the man or the husband or the father do, and it was toxic, it was not right, and it's not biblical.
Yeah, in fact, I think you and I have talked about that at great length. Some of the ways that you see that quote-unquote biblical principle taken way too far.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like if I'm going to name it, it would be legalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the church, and the legalism of, you know, the man is the head of the home, and it's his word is the last word, and that's the way it's going to be. And it doesn't only just translate into the marriage, but that translates even when the children are there. The children come along. It's, you know, the children are made to, you know, toe the line, or it's my way or the highway, or, you know, whatever you want to put in there.
You see, that kind of behavior does not come from what we're talking about.
Right.
It comes from a place of control.
Right.
It comes from a place of insecurity in the man, lack of trust. It comes from a place of just wanting to be the winner. And you're winning against people you're supposed to lead and help. Right. You want to win that argument. You want to win that breakdown. You want to win that weakness in your children. Win over is what I meant to say. And that's not biblical.
Right.
Yeah. You want to shout them down. You want to thump the Bible over them to bring them in line.
Well, if you see that happening, you know, in your own life or in someone else's life, most likely you're going to find a man who is very weak when it comes to his job, where he is, you know, maybe he's one of the minions,
right,
and he's got an overbearing boss. He's not boss when it comes to work. He's not boss when it comes to other areas of his life where he can be the boss.
Right.
Here. And then the biblical foundation, which is beautiful and wonderful, given by God, is used to justify that bad behavior.
Right. And bossing around. Exactly. And I think it comes through in the way that you communicate with your wife and your spouse. And I've seen it with you guys, and I've seen it with you and Elizabeth and with Ellie and I. It's always, it is, and I've from what I've seen, it's always, hey, listen, this is where I think God has taken us. I've prayed about this. Mm-hmm. Here's my vision. Here's what I'm laying out. It's never, I'm the husband.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's never because I'm the man, this is what we're doing.
Are you going to go against scripture?
Right.
You know, is it you're, that's not how I grew. I mean, those kind of statements with that kind of a attitude, of an attitude is totally contradictory.
That's important for us to remember, man. Thank you guys so much. Such a great discussion on marriage and how to find that restoration. And our prayer is that if you're out there listening or you're out there watching, and that's you and you are in a relationship, you're in a marriage that you desire that restoration, that you would take these steps that we've talked about. We take what we talk about on the show very seriously. We pray that you do as well, because Amen. This is coming from God's word. This isn't just opinion. This is coming from the word of God. And
that's
the source of restoration.
Discussions like this, absolutely. Discussions like this will change your life. It'll change your marriage. Even sitting here today, just talking to Dr. Shaw. I've known these guys for 10 years, but even now I'm thinking about things that I've known in the past, but I'm thinking about it a little more seriously. And so that's our prayer for you guys.
Yeah. Write in and let us know how today's episode was helpful for you. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and become part of our Clearview Today Show family. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Tomorrow is Good Friday, so we're going to be celebrating the cross, talking about what Jesus did for us, and really just giving thanks for his sacrifice that really gave us everything that we have. Every single hope that we have for the future comes from the cross.
Amen. Good Friday. Why is it good? You'll find out tomorrow. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.